Second Peter and chapter number 3. And here in this passage of scripture, as the author continues getting towards the end of this book, we really find there is a theme throughout the book, and that's growing, growing, growing in grace, growing in grace, growing in the knowledge of our Savior. And that really begins kind of this thought process in verse number 15 and is carried to the end here in verse number 18. So 2 Peter chapter 3, just be seated this evening. Let me read this one verse. We'll jump right into the Word of God tonight. 2 Peter chapter number 3, would you look with me at verse number 18? The Bible says this, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." This evening, I want to look once again at the importance of growth. I want to look this evening at the importance of growth. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, as Brother Bert just prayed, I ask, Savior, that You'd meet with us. Father, I know on Wednesday evenings it can be tough, but Father, there's an auditorium of college students and young adults and, Father, even seasoned Christians in here, and we want to learn. Father, we desire to grow this evening. I ask, Savior, that You would, as once again Brother Arrowwood prayed, that You'd be with the young kids, be with the teenagers. Father, be with those who are being discipled out in the coffee shop tonight. Lord, all across this building, would You have preeminence? Father, would You be exalted? Lord, would You increase? And would we decrease? Father, help us to check our pride at the door. Lord, help us to come in with humility before You this evening. We love You, Savior. In Your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Here in this passage of Scripture, it says, "But grow in grace." We begin to look at last week that throughout the Word of God, you and I are instructed to grow. And the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 1, "Wherefore laying aside all malice," laying it aside, that means this, getting rid of, "and all guile and all hypocrisies, envies, evil speakings," watch this very carefully, "as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may," watch now, "grow thereby. If so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." It says here in this passage of Scripture that as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. And we begin to look at last week as a foundation that you and I are as new Christians, that newborn babe. That baby desires one thing. It's not a good job. It's not retirement. It's not to get out on the golf course. It's not to shoot a free throw. It's not to look good around peers. No, that newborn baby desires one thing, and that is milk. It's hungry. It wants to grow. It cries. That is its desire. And therefore, you and I know as Christians, that ought to be our desire as well. That means this, that you and I are hungry. What's our desire? Well, we're hungry or ought to be hungry, watch very carefully, for the Word of God. It says that we may grow thereby. There is a great necessity for continual spiritual growth. Growth must come, but remember now that growth has to come and or be a desire in our own lives. The world that you and I live in is really a world where we want to see everybody else grow. We come in with almost this judgmental attitude that you have to grow and you have to be this way and I'm not seeing you grow. And I've said over the last 2 weeks that even as a young pastor, I was guilty of that, that I felt like it was my job to get everyone to grow and that I was so concerned with everybody's love status with God and I couldn't sleep at night and it would keep me up and I'd be so impatient with people and deacons and Sunday school teachers and those that would miss church. And I almost became obsessed as a young pastor that it was me and it was my job to get everybody to love God as I felt like I loved God. And that was shown through that if you didn't sing, then man, you didn't love God. If you didn't sing out like I sang out, you didn't love God. If you weren't faithful 3 to 5, baby, then you weren't. You didn't have a status with God that I had. And all of a sudden, I became the Pharisee. I became the one that was obsessed with taking over. Hold on, listen very carefully. The Holy Spirit's job. And I learned very quickly, that's not my job. That's not a way to live. And God never crowned me king of this little kingdom. No, no. He is king if you believe that. Say amen tonight. He is supreme. He is number one. He is the final authority. It is not you. It is not me. It is not religion. Excuse me, friend. It is not Cross Point Baptist Church. It is the very word of God. And so therefore, you and I have to continue every day to be in that growth process. I said it last week, and I just want to reiterate, there has been many a great churches that truly were on fire for God. Decades ago, they saw growth, they saw people saved, baptized, discipled. In every area, God was doing a great work. And you look at that church today, and some of them are unrecognizable. There are those that have shrunk in size, and even some that have truly just closed their doors. It was a handful of people that couldn't keep the lights on, and so, well, we give up, and that's it, and go somewhere else or just call it quits altogether. And you and I could even say that it's not just churches, but there's also individuals. There's those individuals that used to be on fire for God, and they used to sit together as a couple. Man, they used to love singing the hymns. They used to love being in the choir. They loved to welcome people in. They taught a Sunday school class. There are even those that maybe preached in a pulpit at one time or another. And now you look at their social media and they want nothing to do with God, nothing to do with this word. Their family is in upheaval. There's divorces all over, and there's a hatred towards the things of God. There's a hatred towards his word. There's a hatred for the name of Jesus Christ. And you and I have to say, okay, what happened? What happened in an individual's life? What happened to these brethren, to these sisters in Christ that were counted among the faithful and are no longer with us? More importantly than that, instead of just concentrating on the churches that are no longer, what about Cross Point? Instead of concentrating on the members of the marriages that used to be, or the people who used to be on the fire, or those individuals that used to love God, man, we can name them, could we not? But hold on. Should we just spend all of our time concentrating on the churches that are in the Indianapolis area that are no longer? Or the individuals that used to go to Eagledale/Cross Point that are no longer? Can we get on social media and should we post them up there? And, well, shame on them and shame on you and shame on the church. Hold on. Maybe we shouldn't concentrate so much time on those who have left the faith or are at a church and want nothing to do with God. Maybe we ought to concentrate, excuse me, friend, listen very carefully, on ourselves. Somebody help me out tonight. Before we think we are so above that, we're not. Before we think we can handle Satan, we can't. Before you and I think, hey, it's not my marriage, not my home, not my individual, not my personal devotions. No, you don't understand, Pastor. That won't happen to me. Take heed lest you fall is what the Word of God says. So how do we continue on? How do we continue to see Cross Point Baptist Church thrive? If God tarries another 10, 15, 20, 50 years, if I want to see my grandkids grow up in the Lord and stand up here tonight and say a Bible verse and sing a song, if that's my desire, then how are we going to keep this thing on the rails? Who do we trust? How do we move forward? Well, we have to watch very carefully. I believe it is impertinent. One of the keys to staying on track is continual, hold on, listen now, continual growth. It is the importance of spiritual growth. We only got through one subpoint last week, so we're going to continue right here. Number one, if you're taking notes tonight, would you write this down? Number one, the results of not growing spiritually. Number one, the results of not growing spiritually. Well, what are the results if you and I just stop growing? That means this. We feel like we've accomplished it. We've been there. We've reached the apex of getting everything that we can from the very Word of God. And so because we've been in church so long, because we've been married so long, because we got grandkids or great-grandkids, you know, we've been there, done that. We've got it. We're good. Hold on. The importance, listen very carefully, of growing is this. If you and I stop growing, no matter if we are a brand new Christian, which we've got those being discipled in the back that are brand new Christians, Michelle just saved last year, as well as others in this very auditorium as I look around, and even Chris, who's from West Coast Baptist College, has not grown up in a church like this sitting back here this evening. Understand, whether it is those who are newly saved and or those who have been saved for a long time, the results of not growing is this. You ready for this? Letter A, if you want to take this notes or write this down, is carnality. It's what we looked at last week. It is carnality. You see, there is this trend that is growing in our country, and the trend is this. It's this movement that really has swept our nation, and it's that Christians have become carnal in their living. They become fleshly in their living. The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 3 in verse number 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. Now watch what he says. Hold on, don't you now here. Watch this. I couldn't speak unto you as spiritual. Well, why not? But speak unto you, watch now, but as unto carnal, fleshly, worldly. Watch what Paul says. Even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto were ye not able to bear it. Neither yet now are ye able. Well, what's the problem, Paul? Well, here's the problem. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as, watch now, men? You and I, when we get away from growing, when we stop growing the way that God desires for you and I to grow. Now, hold on. Let's tune in right here. Check it out. Remember, all of us, if you're saved tonight, say amen. Then you have a spiritual relationship with Jesus Christ. If you understand that, say amen. Okay? So all of us are going to grow in different ways. Our growth is going to be different. Just as there are those kids that just sprout right up. There are those that grow very slowly. There are those that come to a peak in their growth. But it's a young kid. They're not this forever. There is that growth. And it's all different. Can I say? The same is true with you and I. We're going to grow differently. That's why so often carnal Christians, hold on now, listen, watch. Carnal Christians get upset, or Pharisaical Christians will get upset with a new Christian because they've been saved for a long time. They know right and wrong. The Holy Spirit works inside of them. Somebody gets saved, it's automatically, well, don't you know better? Don't you know you shouldn't walk like that, talk like that, drink that, be that, take that, do this, do that? Oh, my, I thought you were saved. Hadn't you been saved for like, what, now 6, 7 days? Hold on. There is a growth process that must take place. But what happens so often with those who get away from the Word is then at that moment, they become the final authority. There is no Holy Spirit working. They can watch what they want. They can do what they want. They can harbor pride in their heart or harbor bitterness in their heart. They can be bad and harbor pride or set themselves up. Or they can indulge in drinking. They can indulge in alcohol and drugs and pornography. Watch very carefully. And here's what they say. Well, the Holy Spirit didn't convict me on it, so therefore it must not be a sin. Contrary, friend, understand this, that's a very foolish statement. Remember, the Word of God and the Holy Spirit never go contrary to each other. But this is what we are raising. I know we don't have our young kids in here, and I got to move because it's 7:35, but you just buckle your seatbelt and watch this. Understand that we are raising a generation to think that if they're not convicted about it, then it must not be a sin. And we have so much this world and this transgender and gay and lesbian and pick your own gender, male or female gender agenda. Ooh, my goodness. That agenda about gender, if that makes sense, okay? Understand, it's so in our kids' face that here's what they're saying. We are talking about, hold on, we are talking about born again, saved, baptized, camp-going kids in independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist churches that say, well, I wasn't convicted about it, and the rainbow is rainbow, and happy, and love wins, and so I could be gay, I could be lesbian, I could do anything I want, because, hold on, the Holy Spirit hasn't convicted me. Do you know what that is a sign of? They stopped growing. They got in the Word. They got their fire insurance. They got some conviction. They didn't want to go to hell, so they got it, and now I'm done. Now, hold on, check it out. I can live however I want to live. Foolish, wrong, and it goes against God's very word. And I'm here to warn us tonight, Christian, when you and I come to a place where we feel like we've got it all, brother, sister, you just better watch out. Are you saved tonight? Say amen. How many more times do I say it? Then you know that the Holy Spirit and God's going to be after you. You know why? Because He loves you. Those kids that have gone astray, if they're truly saved, I know those might even be kids in this very auditorium that they were raised right, you feel like you did the best you could, you gave them to God, and now they're gone astray. Let me encourage you, parent, tonight. If they are saved, God is going to passionately and relentlessly chase that child. He has not given up on them. He loves them. He died for them. And His blood, it covers their sin. It covers it. Be encouraged tonight. Carnality can come, as we saw last week, in becoming the final authority. But I read a quote by Brother Toby England, an apologist of our day, who said it like this. Christians need to realize our flesh can be equally, hold on, listen. Christians need to realize our flesh can be equally gratified through flagrant sin and strict rule-keeping. Licentiousness and legalism grow from the same dark root. Beware of both. Now I don't have time to lay this out once again. Go back and listen to last week. It's on Facebook. It's on our webpage. If you're not growing, you either, A, are going to become more like the world, or you become reliant on Phariseeism, legalism, to make yourself feel good. A person can truly be in church, they can claim to love God, but they've stopped growing. And it might not push them towards the world or darkness or sin, but there are those that will stand up and look at me and look at my standards and look at my preferences and thank God I am not as these others. And it's the same dark root. It's the same sin. It is carnality. Remember, let's go back to Matthew 5 and 6. Go back and read it tonight. You will see who Jesus Christ in His preaching attacked over and over and over again. It was not just the carnal world. It was the Pharisee that stood up and look at me and I've come to this apex. Of I know it all, and boy, I am holy, and I'm glad I'm not like you, glad I'm not like you. And all of a sudden, we are glorying in our pride. What are the results of not growing? First of all, it's carnality. Number two, it's division. Division. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 10, listen very carefully. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no, hold on, divisions among you, but that you be perfectly, hold on, joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. You see, the results of not growing are not only carnality, but the results also are division. Well, how is this possible, Pastor? Understand what the Word of God lays out for us is when you and I are not growing, we become divisive. How? Well, because we are thinking preference and not in the mind of Christ. You see, those who have the mind of Christ, they're focused, listen now, they're focused on Him. Those who have the mind of Christ, they're focused on His will. They're focused on what He desires. They're focused on, well, His Bible, His love, His mercy, grace, peace, and the list goes on and on and on. That is a person who is growing. A person who is not growing, watch very carefully, is only thinking about themselves. Unity, and understand, I think oftentimes we take unity, we talk about separation far more than we do about unity. We find, hold on, we find a whole lot more. Now remember, don't get offended by this. I've said it many a times. I am a Baptist through and through. I grew up Baptist. I'm Baptist now, and Lord willing, I'll die a Baptist, okay? I believe in the Baptist doctrine, but this is all I know. I didn't grow up Methodist or Presbyterian. I'd probably pick on them if I did, but I didn't, okay? So I'm telling you, as Baptist, we find far more things to separate over than we do to be in unity with. Hold on, let me say it again. As Christians, we will find far more things to divide us than we will the very things that unite you and I. If this makes sense, say amen tonight. But I want to encourage us this evening in the Word of God. Because if that's what we're going to base Cross Point after, then let's go back to it. And the Word of God has much to say about unity. The Bible says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Paul said it like this in Philippians 2:2. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being in one accord, watch now, and in one mind. Romans chapter 15 and verse number 5. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded, one toward another according to, well, Baptist. No. Well, according to what I prefer, standards? Well, according to what? No, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. There is power in a unified church. I'm doing a study right now in Philippians. I'm going to bring it on Wednesday nights, a verse by verse context through the book of Philippians. You read in the book of Philippians the unity that they had. There was power in that. Go back to Acts chapter 2. In chapter 3, verse number 4, good grief, throughout the whole book of Acts, the power that was in those early churches. Why? Because there was unity there. Understand, it takes unity, but it also takes a lot of humility to get along with other Christians. The Bible says, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. You see, division and strife reveals our carnality. And carnality comes from, what is it? You and I not growing. So therefore, if we're going to grow, we're going to grow in Christ. If we're going to grow in Christ, we're going to understand humility. Division and strife reveal carnality unless it is over, watch now, doctrinal heresy or moral wickedness. That means oftentimes what we do is we begin to envy and strive, and it's done in the flesh. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:3, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal? James chapter 3 and verse number 14. But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. Watch what he says. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Unity. Hold on. Listen now. When you and I don't grow, when you and I aren't in the Word, when you and I are not where we ought to be in Christ, what is it causing? It begins to cause division. It begins to cause rifts. Hold on, I'm going to put it this way. It begins to cause one person to call another person and to begin to gossip. And then what we have is discord amongst the brethren. This division, watch very carefully, oftentimes we find in the New Testament is caused not from an outside agenda. Hold on. Boy, we want to all amen, and we want to jump on board. We talk about abortion, and when we talk about, homosexuality and gay, boy, yes, sir, pucker there, preacher. But let me tell you, the Bible has a lot to say about unity in his house, unity in his family. And all of a sudden, if we're not careful, we become very quiet. You know why? Because disunity often comes when we are offended over personal rights. So let's define it. Where does unity come from? You see, unity is not conforming to a set of rules given by association, experience, preference, hierarchy, or religion. Let me say it again. Listen very carefully. Unity is not conforming to a set of rules given by association, experience, preference, hierarchy, or religion. You see, when disunity comes, usually it is because one of those rights has been offended. We become offended, watch very carefully, when we don't have unity. Well, what is unity, Pastor? Well, it's not a set of rules given by association. Well, I'm offended. Well, okay, Christian, why are you offended? Well, you offended me, and God's been offended. Well, how has that been offended? Well, because of the association that I've been around. Now, hold on, I've preached this before, and I'm not going to go back and preach the whole thing, but I will say this. You and I better be very careful adding to the Word of God what we feel like is our personal preference. It's a very dangerous place to be. Well, you offended me. How did I offend you? Well, because association that I have is that we don't need speakers that are black. We need speakers that are white. Or we don't need plants that are green. We need plants that at least have Miss Judy some flowers in. All of a sudden, we become offended. Why? Because somebody's done something contrary that is our association. Well, I'm so sorry. How did I offend you? Well, the church that I went to before, they had white flowers, and we've got purple flowers, and so it's a slippery slope. Now you laugh. You get together with Pastor Defoe afterwards and ask him. You get together with Pastor Fitzgerald and ask him. The silliness of this world, that's how silly it's gotten. We become offended, and we want disunity. We want division. Why? Well, because I've been offended. Well, how have you been offended? Well, I associate this with this. Can I just tell you, friend, I'm not interested, and you ought not to be interested, in living by a set of rule or standards by everybody else's association. Can I get an amen right there? Our association ought to be the Lord Jesus Christ. Unity is not a set, listen now, is not living by a set of rules that's associated. Well, I'm here to tell you, I have been offended. Why have you been offended? Well, because I'm conforming to a set of rules given by, hold on, experience. You see, disunity often comes in the body of Christ when we're living by, hold on, watch very carefully, when we're living by truly just experience. I'm going to tell you this. I'm sorry that something went awry in your life or in your family or in your marriage or in the youth group or in the church maybe that you went to before, but just because you had, hold on, listen, a bad experience doesn't mean you should expect everyone else to live by the rules of that bad experience. Thank you, Brother Titus. You're the only one that seems to be amening tonight. That makes me very nervous. So we're just going to have to park her right here for a little while. How about that? Somebody had a bad experience with a marriage. They got divorced. Does that mean we're to live by their experience and nobody else's? And humanity should get married ever again because, well, they had a bad experience. We look at that and say, well, that's foolish. That's crazy. How many like Chick-fil-A? Would you say amen? Sure, not everybody. Why don't you like Chick-fil-A? Well, because when I was pregnant, I threw it up, and so therefore, I don't like to. Okay, all right, fine. Does that mean I'm never allowed to have Chick-fil-A? God's manna, amen? It's not the way it works. Hold on. Unity is not living by a set of rules of experience. I'm telling you right now, brother, you've heard it. I'm telling you right now, sister, I am offended. Why? Well, because I'm living by a set of rules by preference. I think we all can just agree tonight that our preference ought to be the Word of God. Amen. And we have different preferences without a doubt. We have different preferences, and we've heard it throughout the ages. And it's as a younger pastor back in the day, I fought it a little bit, but it has not been my battle. But for the older gentlemen here, and missionaries who are here tonight, and others, you battled the dress standards for years and years and years and years. And it's not that it's gone. It's just that in my day and age, that's not the battle that we're putting up with. We didn't live in the groovy days of the 1970s and that big sexual revolution and the fonds or whatever it was and leather jackets and the rest of it. Understand, the world that I'm living in, we're fighting for our kids to like a boy and a girl together. It's the battle that we have taken up. It's our battle. We're battling abortion. Look, it's not that it's gone away, But I will tell you this, when it comes to certain issues, there are different preferences. Hold on, that's all there is to it. You got a different preference in music than I got. You got a different preference on dress standards than I've got. So is that what we are going to use to divide our churches out to where we have little pockets of 10, 15 people, and every week they're going to preach dress standards, and 10 or 15 people over here, and we're going to preach the King James Version, and then we're going to have a little pocket of people over here, and we're going to preach a Fanny Crosby until we die. And is this, hold on, is this what we're going to be divided over? Because I'm here to tell you, we think we're so big and tough and bring it on, Antichrist, and I'm going to die for the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to be kidding ourselves. We're joking around. The world is dying and going to hell, and here we are. Well, I'm offended. Well, are you offended, brother? I hate to do that. Well, my preference is brown chairs, and man, we've got black chairs, and we've got, and look, I'm just using examples. I'm not talking about from Cross Point, praise God, but I'm talking in the past. I told you about church down south. Brother Eric knows it. Split over them getting rid of these screens and putting up monitors like we have in the overflow. High definition, big 80-inch monitors. Hold on. This is a God-fearing, Bible-preaching Baptist church, and they split. Why? I prefer my way. Unity also doesn't come from hierarchy. I'm going to be super clear. I love this study because it's so fun. We get to the nitty-gritty. But here we go. This is what I'm going to say. You ready for this? Pastor Shepherd, now hold on, listen, hear me out, is not the final authority. It's okay to amen there. I'm quite all right with that. Now I give an account for Cross Point Baptist Church, and it's a weight. I stand before the Lord one day, just as Pastor Defoe and his dad and Pastor Airwood, we will give an account. And that's heavy on a pastor. As you, I know, unless you've been a pastor, you don't realize it. It's a heavy. We give an account. But let me tell you, God forbid we ever have a hierarchy system where the Baptist Pope stands up and tells everybody how they're to act, what they're to watch, what they're to listen to, where their kids can go, where they should go to school. But I'm telling you, in good churches, that's what's taking place. And friend, if it ever comes in this place where I'm trying to direct families and tell you and get in your business, and all of a sudden I have become this pope in your life where I have taken over the place of the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you right now, get a U-Haul for me. We're out of here because I'm no longer a pastor. I'm a hireling. I'm the Holy Spirit. I'm the Word of God. And I'm here to tell you, friend, I have no interest in being that. As God is my witness, I want to follow the Word of God. This is not a hierarchy. It's not, well, bless God, here's what we're going to do. There's stuff I'd like to do. There's been things people have addressed me, and let's do this. And you know what? All right, let's pray about it. Let's get back together. Let's do this. But ultimately, especially when it comes to doctrine, it's not this guy. And I just want to be super serious. Ready? It's not you either. Hold on, let me say it again. There's not many amens right there. It's not you either. There we go. You know, you can say amen when it's Pastor Shepherd when it comes to you. Unity is not conforming to a set of rules given by association, experience, preference, hierarchy. Unity comes from knowing who Jesus is and trusting his word. To be honest with you, when you start a conversation, I'm offended. You automatically showed your hand and that you're a carnal Christian. The Bible's clear, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. We live in a day and age, everybody's upset and mad over everything. We literally lived in a country 2 years ago where Bible-believing Christians were getting offended if somebody beside them in church was wearing a mask or was not wearing a mask. That's how carnal we became in our nation. We became so fleshly and so selfish that here's where we live. And I wasn't here at Cross Point, so to say, well, he must have heard. I didn't hear anything. I wasn't here yet. Pastor Airwood, I'm sure, could tell me some stories, but he hasn't. But we became, across the nation, this is how carnal we became. We're offended. You know what the Bible says? Listen very carefully. It says this. But if ye bite and devour one another, if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. You see, when we're growing, watch now, when we are not growing in His Word, there is going to be division. A church that is on fire is a church that has a burning for the gospel. A church that is on fire is a church that has a burning for the gospel. Division comes when we want to define unity. And do you know what you and I are unified around? Somebody say it out loud. The Word of God. The gospel. That's what unifies you and I. Different preferences? Yeah, sure. Different standards? Absolutely. It ought to be based on the Word of God. I want to remind you, it's not my job to get everybody. You, Bryce, you, Abby, you, Jeff, Josh, Gloria, all the way around. Can I tell you, Miss Sally? You stand before the Lord and you give an account all by yourself. Yeah, but I want to worry about Miss Carrie. Yeah, but I want to worry about Brother Bruce, Miss Gail. I want to make sure that they... tell me. You don't stand before the Lord and give an account for them. And you don't give an account for me. Cross Point Baptist Church, may you and I be careful. Because there's been many a churches that stopped growing. And the result was carnality. Whether it was the flesh, I could watch any movie I want, I could listen wherever I want, I could do whatever I want, I could have any lifestyle I want, I could marry who I want, I don't have to marry, I could live with somebody. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has not convicted me. Hold on. It's carnality of the flesh, or it can be carnality of Phariseeism. Stop growing, it doesn't matter what the Lord says, because I've arrived. Or it could be division. I want to warn us tonight, and there's still two more points that are so good, so don't get tired of this series, but watch very carefully. May you and I always be unified around the very Word of God. Amen. Esteem it. Love it. Next week, we're going to dive into it. I'm going to teach you how to enjoy Bible reading. You ever come to a place in your Bible where you're like, oh, here we go. All right, I've read this one before. All right, the names of this and that. Okay, next week, we're going to dive in how to enjoy your Bible reading. But the results of not growing is division. And I want to tell you, friend, I'm thankful for you, and I love you, family, and I haven't heard anything. I'm not bringing this out tonight like, okay, now we're just going to, let's let them have it. I haven't heard that at all. You know what I just love? I love the Word of God. Amen.